it's not getting any easier for women. So how can we turn inwards, find that confidence in ourselves, and not look for validation from other people, but really define it for ourselves? And I think the best thing to do is know you are one of one. You're exactly who you're meant to be. And as soon as you celebrate that and embrace that,
yes,
everything's going to change. And like you said, that confidence is the most attractive quality. That is what makes you stand out in a room. It's not what designer bag you have. It's not what title is on your LinkedIn. It's you to your core. That's who people gravitate towards. And when you love yourself, everyone else is going to love you.
Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast, where driven women in business learn how to become more bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. Feel empowered and challenged through inspiring stories and tell it like it is advice for business, life, and leadership.
Welcome or welcome back to the Bombshell Business Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Hurdle, and I am really excited about today's topic. I know I say that a lot, but there's just a lot that I personally connect to with this. And y'all know that I'm very emotionally invested in this podcast and the messaging and the what we put into the world and what you're consuming in terms of content and what's going into your head, because input equals output. And I think that what my guest today has to share is not only compelling, but it could literally be life-saving. So we're going to be talking to Mary Young, the CEO and founder of Mary Young Lingerie, which is an ethical and sustainable Canadian-made lingerie brand with an emphasis on igniting and inspiring moments of self-love. Y'all know I'm about self-love. Mary is passionate about encouraging women to embrace their natural selves and challenging the societal expectations put on women. And we have some health things to talk about and navigating life and entrepreneurship, chronic pain. I mean, just the whole ball of wax as being a woman in business. Mary, welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. So where should we even begin? I think invisible illness, chronic pain, maybe we should start there, because those are things that are real. Mm-hmm. They're physical, they're scientific, and yet we are looked at like we're crazy, like we're making things up, like we're bringing it on ourselves. It's like keeping us from our best at work. We got to get it under control. And then we have like no support. We have to advocate for ourselves. Take us to the beginning of your story, where this journey began, and where does this fit into your entrepreneurial journey? That's two questions, so I'm sorry. That's a lot.
I can take both of them. Don't you worry.
Okay.
So it actually started before my entrepreneurial journey. I had my first chronic pain, I guess, incident when I was 16. I had a concussion that resulted in post-concussion syndrome. So I actually lost my cognitive skills of reading and writing at the age of 16.
Whoa.
Which was a pretty hard time to suddenly not be able to read properly or write. Speaking was tricky when I was dealing with chronic migraines. And when it comes to the brain, every brain is different. So what may work for you to treat a migraine may not work for me. And it was a lot of trying to figure out how to find any reprieve and any sort of, you know, calmness within the chaos of this post-concussion syndrome. And during that time, I was also dealing with really horrible period pain, which I just thought was normal. As, you know, a young woman, you're told you have period pain. I was, you know, I guess 4 years after getting my first period, and I went on birth control at 15 for bad period pain. I had already had cysts, ovarian cysts rupture at the age of 15. I was in and out of the hospital for that. So I just thought that was normal for me. And dealing with that type of pain along with the migraines, it was an everyday battle of dealing with something.
As a teenager.
Yes.
Like your prefrontal cortex hasn't even formed yet fully.
Not even close. Not even close to forming. Trying to figure out who I am. You know, you're trying to feel confident in yourself, feel what friendships and what circles you fit in. And I was
boys
trying to remember medications. Or whatever. Yeah. Anything. All those different things that happen as a teenager. Add these two things on top, and obviously they're both invisible illnesses. It's not something anyone can see, and it's definitely not something most people would understand. So I really kept pretty silent about what I was navigating and going through. And it took me a few years to realize, okay, if I want to get any help, whether that's from the medical world or my friends and my family, I need to actually speak up and advocate for myself. And that's what led me to getting diagnosed with endometriosis at the age of 20. And that had been about 5-6 years after dealing with painful periods, navigating all of that. And so for me, I was actually diagnosed earlier than most women who have endometriosis. It's usually around 7 to 10 years before diagnosis.
The only reason, well, I can't say this for certain, but I would say an educated guess of the only reason, of air quotes for those not watching, that I was diagnosed when I was because I got knocked up when I was 16 years old. So I was already in that kind of like, you know, that realm of checking that area. And being a whole lot more attentive to certain things. And so in my post, you know, visits after having Brittany, that I think I was 17. So I was 16 when I had Brittany. I was 17 when I got diagnosed with endometriosis. And then I'm going to let you tell your story because mine was really long.
Yeah, it's not a fun journey to get that diagnosis. And for me, it was a lot of different doctors, a lot of specialists. It got to the point where I was almost disassociating from my body during those appointments because you don't feel like a human anymore. You have doctors literally with their hands inside of you. Yep. Asking you how your morning was and what movie you've been watching. And it just feels so uncomfortable to be in that position while you're also trying to convince someone the pain I'm dealing with is real. I'm not making this up. I'm not overly sensitive. I'm also not looking for attention. Thank you for thinking that. And it's hard because you have to have the strength as the individual to get to that diagnosis, to keep advocating and keep going back to these appointments that are really uncomfortable. And oftentimes,
doctor after doctor.
So many doctors.
I went to 7 doctors.
Wow.
7 before I got my diagnosis.
So, yeah, I went to a variety of clinics, not a specific doctor. I went to different clinics. And what ended up happening is I actually had a friend who was a nurse at a fertility clinic. And so, doing my research, I knew obviously endometriosis has a big impact on fertility as you age. Obviously, endometriosis is a progressive disease, so it continues to get worse. And so I asked her, I said, do you know anyone at your clinic that knows anything about endometriosis that could give me any guidance or direction? And turns out one of the doctors at her fertility clinic was actually the leading specialist in Canada for endometriosis and decided to take me on as a client at the time in private healthcare in Canada, which is very rare. We do have accessible healthcare. So he took me on free of charge and he was the first doctor to listen to me, just say my problems, my pain, my symptoms. Didn't do a physical examination, but just from listening to what I said, he's like, you 100% have endometriosis and I don't need to do a surgery to identify this. I can tell by looking at your history that that's exactly what's going on. And that was a life-changing moment for me.
Yeah, because you were heard.
I was heard. Like, I was heard and validated. I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't have to, you know, journal and log my symptoms for 3 cycles to show how much pain I'm in. It was really refreshing to be heard and then to also be provided with a treatment plan that I was able to go on basically immediately, which was a hormonal treatment plan, which was pretty aggressive. I'm not going to lie. It ended up
so
going
aggressive.
Through. Yeah, I was like, I was 21 going through menopause forced because of the hormones. It was great for 10 years not having my period. I can tell you that much. I was like, if this is how men live, no wonder why they're thriving every single day. You don't have to worry about anything at
all. You get more than 5 days a month where you feel great?
Yeah.
What?
I was like, no wonder why this world is built for you. You guys are just smooth sailing along. So I was very grateful to have that opportunity to be able to treat my endometriosis so then I could use my energy reserve to treat my migraines because I was still dealing with chronic migraines about 15 to 20 days a month at that time.
Wow, girl. Mm-hmm. Wow. So thanks to 7 doctors. I ended up back at the doctor who is who I chose for my daughter. And she was just like, could not understand that all these, because I was going to doctors in, I lived in outside of Nashville. I was going into Nashville thinking the fancy doctors would have all the answers. Wrong. The men would be like, my textbook says
exactly
come back in 6 months and I'm like, okay, but my body says something
I can't
that
wait
wrong.
That long. Yeah.
And then like, well, fast forward to my 30s because I did all the menopause and I did the ablations and I have had cameras stuck in my belly button and I've done all the things, like
all of the things,
and it's misery. And you're right, every month is misery. And so I finally found a doctor in Nashville who her specialty was endometriosis. She graduated from Harvard Medical School. She taught endometriosis at Vanderbilt Medical School.
Wow.
Which is like the Harvard of the South. So like, I was like, all right, I pick you. I waited forever to get into her. I told her what I wanted her to do. And she's like, well, let's do a vaginal ultrasound. Let me see. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if you've had that, and not to be like TMI, if you got kids in the car, maybe just hit pause, whatever. But I mean, it is, she was like, it'll just be a little, and of course she didn't do it like a nurse did. She's like, it's going to be like a little pressure. And
just
I'm like,
little
that is
pressure.
A giant dildo you're sticking in me, just to be clear. I just want to make that known that this is not a little pressure. This is invasive. And I just cried.
Yeah.
I was so exhausted.
You're exhausted.
So exhausted from.
And you're vulnerable. You're lying there, pants off, on a cold table, on a paper sheet, being prodded at from the inside.
Thank you.
How does that feel comfortable? How does anyone feel respected in that moment? You really don't. And we've also learned that the ultrasounds don't show endometriosis. You're not going to see it through an ultrasound.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
So I sit down with this lovely doctor, and she was like, you're so young, because I was in my 30s, you're so young. And I'm like, listen, I tied my tubes when I was 23 years old. Like, the baby factory is closed. We can just demo it now. Like, we don't need to take that real estate up. Like, it's done. And I said, you could either take my uterus out of me and I will gladly pay you for it, or I will find somebody who will take my money and get it done. And so she was like, okay. And then when I came to after the surgery, she was like, her first words were, I have no idea how you've been living in this much pain for so long. And I was like, mother trucker, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It was growing on my bowels. It was growing on my bladder. It was growing down my legs into my hips. And every time that I had my period, it was singeing and pulling on my bladder and my intestines, to the extent that I had to have a gastroenterologist in the surgical room just in case something went wrong when she was scraping endometrial tissue off of my bowels.
Yeah. It's wild what it does inside of your body. It truly is like a spider web that adheres things together and takes over. And you have no idea how deep it goes until they truly get inside of you to see it.
Yeah. Like, my story is kind of like, and I lived happily ever after. Like, really, when it comes to that, because like, not having a uterus is the jam. I already had my kids. There was no grieving of it or anything like that. So it was really a happy ending for me.
Mm-hmm.
But take me back to your story where, like, okay, so now you've been heard, now you've been validated, now you have treatment, now you can address this other invisible illness that you have. Where did you end up with all of it?
So with the endometriosis, I was on that hormonal treatment for about a decade. And when I turned 30, I had gotten married, and the conversation around family planning became more apparent. And so I decided to get off of the hormonal treatment, which just hormones in general, it's a wild ride for women.
Nasty.
It's nasty. I have never felt so out of control and like two different people in one body. It was a wild ride. I'm surprised my husband was like, oh, I married who? Which one do I get today? So thankfully made it through that. And then I decided to not go on any hormonal medication to try to figure out where my body was naturally. Again, fertility. What level of fertility do I have based on the damage that's been done? And it was excruciating for me to live not on hormones. I was on bed rest during my ovulation and during my menstruation phase. I was barely able to walk more than 20 feet. I was passing out and vomiting from the pain, to the point that obviously there's no quality of life with that. That was just not something I could manage. And so just about 6 months ago, I finally had surgery to remove the endometriosis. And I am so grateful that I did. I'm so grateful that I found a surgeon who specializes in endometriosis. So she did the laparoscopic surgery through the belly button and all those little holes in your abdomen, you know, goes in there, takes it all out. And there was a variety of different pockets of just inflammation, just basically fluid buildup within my abdomen. I was getting, like, similar to you, all my bowels. It was growing on my left side. It was affecting my sciatic nerve. So anytime I would have cramps, I would also have leg pain and back pain. And now I'm able to say 6 months post-operation, I can live while having a period. I can still go out and go for a walk and maybe go to the gym, even if it's a light workout. And that's something that I actually haven't experienced my whole adult life because basically for menstruation at the age of 14, I had problems and pain from the very beginning. So it finally feels like, oh, this is what is a normal menstruation, is you shouldn't be in pain during your period and definitely not during ovulation.
Yeah. And that's the wild thing, was how intense ovulation was.
Yeah. So intense.
God.
Yeah. Like, I thought this was supposed to be the good time of the month, like where I felt my best and my hottest and my most empowered, but I'm lying horizontal and aching again. So how does this make sense?
Yeah, you do not feel hot. You do not feel sexy.
No. When you're
when you have endometriosis and you're ovulating.
Yeah, no, not at all. You're like, I just want like that 5 days in follicular, I think, is when I feel better. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So much. And then your body. So for those listening who don't really understand what endometriosis is, like, I mean, it's the endometrial tissue on the inside of your uterus that you shed, and that is your period. So like you're shedding endometrial tissue. But what happens with endometriosis is it grows outside of your uterus. And so now you've got like this film layer. I don't know the best way to call it.
Yeah.
It's growing outside in places it's not supposed to. And then just like it swells up before it sheds, it swells up all in your body. So endometriosis is a, I'm having a brain melt.
Progressive?
It was progressive, but it's an autoimmune issue.
Typically,
if you have one autoimmune issue, you have other autoimmune issues as well. So it's kind of like you crack that door open, now you're going to find some other things, right?
Yeah.
So where did that, like how did all of this lead you to creating a lingerie brand of all things? Like, I don't know how sexy I was feeling endometriosis.
Yeah, lingerie and endometriosis truly don't go hand in hand when you think about it. You're kind
Not at all.
Those are conflicting ideas. So the lingerie brand came about after I started my hormonal medication. So I was about 23. So this would have been 3 years into my treatment, where at that point I was living pretty pain-free. I was a very, you know, stable place with my endometriosis. And I was studying fashion at school in Toronto. And I personally hated lingerie. It's something that I just detested. I would see ads from Victoria's Secret and say, well, that's not me. I'm not 5'9", blonde, blue-eyed, like, I can't wear that bra. That's not my body shape. I was at 23 already, like going into the department store being like, this one SKU is the only bra I'm going to buy, and that's it. And I realized, I was like, well, this is something I wear every single day. It's the first thing I put on. And if it's not making me feel good or making me feel like myself, then I'm kind of carrying that energy with me throughout the rest of the day.
Girl.
That's the beginning. That's the first moment you have with yourself. It's obviously very vulnerable. You're naked. You're putting on your clothes. You're kind of putting on your warrior, your shield, the way you're going to walk in this world. And if it doesn't feel right, nothing really does. And at the time, I was really looking for something soft and comfortable and not itchy. And that really didn't exist in 2014. There wasn't anything that wasn't padded to go from an A cup to a D cup.
Maybe
I want to be an A cup.
I've had a reduction, so I needed no help in that department.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
None.
You're like, I don't want more padding. I actually want less padding and maybe no wire on my rib cage all day, just so I could feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's what really inspired me to start doing the lingerie, was this isn't out there. And people don't want to be fitting into something that really isn't them. And we're also not empowering women to celebrate and love themselves for who they are. The entire marketing and messaging in lingerie is change yourself so that someone else thinks you're worthy. It's not about how you think
of
yourself.
In your underpants.
Exactly. It's for someone else to view, to take off, to put on, to buy you as a gift. But where is it ever for you when it's something you wear every single day? And that is really what started it. And then obviously the endometriosis is what is even more comfortable, because when I'm bloated, I go from one size to the next. My you know, cup size changes throughout my cycle. What can I do that feels comfortable? So our fabric is rayon of bamboo. It's super stretchy. It's high wicking. It is the most comfortable material, and it lasts a long time. So it doesn't sag out and get really weird and, you know, grandma panty. Like, even if you wear the high waist ones, they keep the shape and they make you look like you have a little snatched waist, even in comfortable soft underwear. It's not about changing who you are. It's about celebrating who you are naturally.
Yeah. And one of my colleagues and I, we kind of looked all over your website looking at the different things. And, you know, it like we were like, I'd like that. Oh, that looks comfortable and it's cute. Like there, it's really good stuff. Like really,
it's a little
good
bit
stuff.
Of both. It's if you want to show someone what you're wearing, you feel confident to do it. You don't need to change into something else
right.
to show someone your lingerie. You feel good putting it on in the morning for you, and if at night you want to show that to someone else, you're ready to. You don't have to think about, oh my gosh, are they going to think this?
Am I wearing granny panties and like the over the shoulder boulder holder? Like,
yeah, you're like, no, actually, I look great. These colors are beautiful. The fabric is soft. I feel like myself. And that's what I want women to feel, is to feel great about who they are naturally. And, you know, there are so many expectations on women, how we're supposed to show up, how we're supposed to speak, present ourselves. And it's time that we reclaim that for ourselves and really decide who we want to be in this world and show up exactly as we are.
I think that's where I really just felt connection with you. And I was like, so those who are regular listeners, they know I have nothing to do with anything except for this moment right now interviewing you. I mean, like, I have an appointment put on my calendar with a one sheet that's created for my guests. They tell me everything that I need to know. I can hop around the internet to find all the additional information so I can ask thoughtful questions and have a meaningful conversation. But then after that, it just like everything goes away. And so when I was cyber stalking you, as a good host should, I was just like, oh man, because like there's one thing I was, again, just looking at your stuff and talking with my assistant, and you know, she's bowdy like me. And we were both like, man, women just don't even understand. Like, if you love yourself and if you're confident in yourself, ain't no man on this planet going to be complaining if you are naked in his bed. I'm just telling you that right now.
Not even a chance.
Like,
not
I have scars from C-sections and the breast reduction and endometriosis surgeries and my hysterectomy. I have never once been intimidated by those scars. Never once. It's part of my story. And
it's
also
empowering. You own them. They're yours. It's your story.
Mine.
Exactly.
I overcame all. I brought two humans into the world by getting my flesh sliced open so they could breathe their first breath of life. And you don't think that I'm not a badass warrior? Like,
exactly.
Come on. Like,
yeah,
come
try
on.
Again. If you're going to make me feel small about myself, it's not going to work.
It ain't happening. Like,
no.
And I like how you said it's like you're putting on your armor. Because when you said that, I was like, yeah, you're worrying up for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're strapping down.
And life is hard. Like, let's be honest. Life is hard. As a woman, it's extra hard. You know, we thought by 2024, it should be easier. Somehow it's not. It's not getting any easier for women. So how can we turn inwards, find that confidence in ourselves, and not look for validation from other people, but really define it for ourselves? And I think the best thing to do is know you are one of one. You're exactly who you're meant to be. And as soon as you celebrate that and embrace that, everything's going to change. And like you said, that confidence is the most attractive quality. That is what makes you stand out in a room. It's not what designer bag you have. It's not what title is on your LinkedIn. It's you to your core. That's who people gravitate towards. And when you love yourself, everyone else is going to love you.
Yeah. Yeah. I often will say to people who are struggling with this, or like they're afraid of self-promotion, which, I mean, we don't want to like, you know, beat our chest or be like pompous or anything, but like you have to believe in yourself to promote like the value that you bring to the world, or people aren't going to pay attention to you. And so it's like going down, walking down like a mall, you know, in between all the stores, and then, you know, having those little kiosks in the center where they're like, can I clean your watch or your ring, or like try this hand cream or whatever. It would be like walking past one of them and being like, you don't want to see this. It's fine. It's really not all that great. Like they're proud to tell you like, hey, try this hand cream. I want you to try it because you will see for yourself the difference. Like that's the kind of confidence I want people to have. Like reach out to people walking past you and be like, I've got something great. You have to experience this.
Exactly.
And you can't do that if you don't even like the vehicle in which you are navigating this world in.
Like, it's really hard to, you know, it's another hurdle to get over. And I think that's the biggest hurdle, is finding that acceptance and love for yourself. And every other hurdle you face afterwards is going to feel like a small stone. It's not going to be a big wall you have to climb up and over. You're going to have it within you to know you can get where you want to be.
So let's go down your entrepreneurial journey then, because it's hard to be a woman in this world, especially now, like, geez Louise, that's a whole other episode, but
take a deep breath, a moment of silence for that one.
That was for every woman listening to this podcast right now. How did all of this help you to navigate your own entrepreneurial path? Because it is, the fashion world is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Business is hard. You put those two things together and then you add lingerie on top of it, girl.
Yeah. Like, I'm really swimming upstream there. Yeah, I was. And I was young. I started my business at 23. So
bananas.
I looked about 18. I'm going to be honest with you. No one took me seriously. And that fueled my fire. I really felt like, okay, you're not going to take me serious because A, I'm a woman. B, I'm a young woman. And C, you don't think I know anything about what I'm doing, but I know a lot more about my customer than anyone else because I am my customer. I talk to my customer all the time. And it was definitely a struggle, but I was very clear from the beginning what the pillars of our brand were going to be is ethical and sustainable products. I'm not going to, you know, fall into that overconsumption narrative that fashion specifically is known for. Yeah, constantly more, more, more. You need this to be that X, Y, and Z. And that has definitely been tested over the years because the world has changed. Fashion industry has changed how you shop online, where you can shop. It's so accessible.
Fast fashion.
Fast fashion is like easier to get than a bottle of water at this point. You can't go into every store and get a nice bottle of water, but you can buy this dupe here and a 3-pack of that there. And that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that the products that we designed not only empowered the people who were wearing it, but also the people that were behind that product and that brand, whether they were making, sewing the garments, they're part of the team that's building this brand. We pay living wages, not minimum wages. So we want people to have a good quality of life when they're working for Mary Young, or if they're contracting or freelancing at any touch point, that we want to make sure that they feel empowered to be a part of this. And that's hard. That's hard in business to have morals and ethics. And it's something that I really have to, like, that's part of my, like, my armor or my shield. Let's put that on and be like, nope, that's not going to get tested today. I'm not going to be pushed in a different direction. And I could have gone in that direction. I had investors interested in the brand and investing in the company as long as we would scale and go offshore and go to different production houses and
margins.
Oh, the margins, all about the margins and the growth and like how fast we can get. Yeah, my gosh. And it's like, this is the girl boss era too. So we were inundated with all these narratives of like what it looks like to be a female founder. And you have to do it all. You have to go to Pilates, but then also have investor meetings when you're 8 months pregnant and about to give birth and all these things. And it was a whirlwind, and it still is. And it's so much of it is having to turn back into myself, back into those pillars of the brand, and remind myself that I'm in my own lane. It's not going to look like everyone else, but I need to define what success looks like to me and stay true to that, even when it feels like it would be easier to go in a different direction.
So feel that, because there's a lot of things that I could have done over the years, because you know online marketing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know. Even and, more so now.
And there's a lot of things that I could have done, and I could have been far more successful, air quotes. And to me, success looks like and feels like harmony, freedom, and being able to lay my head down on my pillow at night and sleep well, knowing that I did good in the world today, and I didn't take anything, and I didn't manipulate anybody, and I didn't shortcut anything, and nobody took one on the chin so that I can have more dollars in my bank account. Like, that's what success looks like to me, and everybody else can quack off.
Exactly. And that's not also what success is defined by in society or business specifically. Business success is money, money, money. The dollars in the bank, the climbing, how fast you can get there. And I always say this to friends of mine or other entrepreneurs I speak with is, at the very beginning of your journey, you need to know what success looks like to you, because it is so easy to get caught up in the narrative of what you should be doing, the influence of someone else, and you'll lose yourself. You'll lose what makes you happy, and you will not be sleeping well. You will not be feeling good about the work you do. So define that success for you, and know that that's what you're chasing and that's your end goal.
I want to talk to you for the rest of the day.
I wouldn't be, you know, upset about that. I wouldn't argue at all.
My listeners are like, Amber falls in love with so many of her guests.
You just have good guests. And I feel honored to be one of them.
Man, Amy, I tell her all the time, Amy Mosier is on her team. She's the best guest picker outer on the planet. anyways, so I don't want to wrap up, but we're kind of at time. And I feel like if I go down another direction, we will have a whole other episode on our hands. So before I go and we talk about where to find you on social media and like getting a discount on some beautiful lingerie. And when I say beautiful, like that's like, you know, in the eyes of a beholder, but I mean like the quality of it. And mm-hmm. to me, it's beautiful because it's stuff I would personally wear. I know everybody has their own taste, but I think you'll be interested to go to the website and see what she has. But before we do all of that, what is your parting piece of advice for a bombshell, a woman like us who is or aspires to be even more bold, brave, unwaveringly confident?
My biggest piece of advice is don't be afraid to fall, because you will. You are going to fall down. It's sometimes you're going to be bruised or scratched, but you will fall. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you're going to get up from falling. And I think that was one of my biggest lessons early on is mistakes are going to happen. And that's just a part of life, a part of whether it's business or your personal life. But the sooner you can learn to get up, pivot, you know, rework the plan, rewrite the business plan, try plan B, C all the way through, the sooner you're going to realize the fall propels you forward. And that's what you really want to lean into.
I think we're soul sisters. I really do.
Yeah.
So first of all, you can find Miss Mary at maryyoung.com. You can find her on Instagram as It's Mary Young, on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now. It's Mary Young. Facebook, It's Mary Young. TikTok, It's Mary Young. YouTube, It's Mary Young. And Pinterest, It's Mary Young. Mm-hmm. And you had a TED Talk as well. And so, and then we will put that in the show notes. And then anywhere else that I miss that we can find you?
If you want to find me as a person, not a brand, you can find me on social media at Mary Aforiata.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Uh-huh. And we will put that in the show notes. That's probably, as you're running on a treadmill, you're not going to remember the spelling of that. So
it's a mouthful.
As always, you could go to amberhurdle.com/podcasts with an S. And look for Mary Young's episode. We don't know the actual episode number as we're recording, but you could just search for her in there, the archives. And then if you do want to try some of this sustainable, ethically produced lingerie, then you can go to maryyoung.com and get 15% off with the code BOMBSHELL. So your coupon code is BOMBSHELL, all caps, and we can get you some ways to put some armor on in the morning to be the kind of bombshell that you want to be every day. Mary, you're a gift and a light, and I feel your wisdom and your grounded insight, and it feels really good to be in your presence. So I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. And I would say the same for you. I think when two people who are aligned come together, it just feels so natural. So this has been a delight for me to be here.
Awesome. Well, bombshell, you know what to do. You're one of us. You're feeling the vibe too. We don't have the groups and the chats and all that kind of stuff because I'm hoping that you're way too busy to be messing with that. But what you can do is A, leave a rating and review. And what that does is trick all the algorithm gods into showing this to somebody who might need it. And so that's how we can expand the bombshell community. And another way to expand the bombshell community is to take this episode and send it to a woman who needs to hear Mary's message, who needs to hear, like, you are powerful, you can take control of your life, you are somebody who has full agency over your existence on this planet, and it just takes the first step of believing in yourself and advocating for yourself. Go to all of the different links that are in the show notes, go deeper on this, spread the word, be kind, love yourself first so you can love other people, and I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Bombshell Business Podcast. Visit amberhurdle.com for more resources like show notes, and check out thebombshellbusinesswoman.com to grab my book and download the free bonuses.